recess.
Okay, today is Friday, July 10. This is a reconvene meeting from June 26, 2020. It is 9 a.m. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum. We've got Vice Chair present, Director Secretary Tiong. We've got Director Mantegna, Director Jugo. Director Crisostomo is joining us via Google Meet. We do have the President, Housing Manager, and Legal Counsel.
Okay, thank you. So why don't we go ahead and go to where we left off at. You have really short memories. I kind of forgot where we left off.
If I could, Mr. Chair, I think we're just finishing up on a couple of the legal status of the legal matters.
Okay, so can we continue?
Yes, yes. So just as a sort of a recap, the two things that we covered was the board's approval of the resolution of the adjustment of the service fees for the AAA, and the board passed that at the last meeting and executed the resolution and instructed me to move forward. So I'm happy to report that the president executed the correspondence, spoke to the governor and to the attorney general, and we served it 2 days ago. So that is already in its process to inform the parties that the AAA process is completed. So we're waiting for the governor's office and for the AG's office to respond as to whether or not it's in compliance with the Administrative Adjudicative Act. Once they provide their responses, the next step would then be to present it to the legislature. So I'm hoping the hard part's already been completed. We're just waiting for them to provide their responses.
Okay.
So we were able to take care of that, and it was served, I think, on Wednesday to both the Attorney General and as well the governor. Again, on a recap on the matter in which I...
Oh, excuse me, give me. Did you get Doreen on that? Or?
She's on.
Okay.
Yeah, she's on. She just muted her mic.
Okay.
She can hear us.
Okay.
And then the other matter in which I know Vice Chair Flores has been involved with was the All-Star matter. And since at the last meeting I had presented to the board that I've already prepared the complaint, management already gave me the final details. Again, happy to report in a week or so, in about a week, that we were able to file the complaint with the Superior Court of Guam. Mm-hmm. And as we speak, the process server is going to serve it on All-Star today. So that's another matter that's moving forward at the direction of the board to move forward with this action. Just a couple matters I just wanted to report on. There is...
QB, time out a second. Ladies, you know, you guys need to write. Why don't you pull up a chair? We got plenty of room up here. Okay? I mean, seriously. Make it more comfortable for you guys. Mary?
Okay.
Alice? Ladies, move up here. John, we got plenty of room. We got plenty of chairs. And we do not bite. Okay, so please, make it more convenient for you guys.
You're 6 feet right here.
Yeah. Oh, the 6 feet rule.
Yes,
oh.
Frank.
Thank you. Ignorant me.
Okay. Different rules.
I won't put that in the minutes.
This is right. That's right.
Everybody's got a different 6 foot scale.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my Chamorro's 6 feet is like this. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, Kiwi, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another matter I wanted to report on that I worked with both the loan administrator and management is the sale of the Jonia property that the board members are aware of. There was much discussion in the last months after we foreclosed on this property over a year ago about trying to sell this property and then the possibility of what it would cost the corporation to rehab it. And so I was informed over a month ago that there was a prospective buyer who put in an offer, and Guam Housing countered the amount of back to $150,000, and I believe the buyer has accepted that offer. We're just trying to confirm the final details of closing. And so just for the board's information, after I clarified with both the president and with our loan administrator, the book value on this particular property when it closed was listed at $123,325. That was the book value on the property. The appraisal value came in at $167,000, and so the counter offer that GHC presented to the buyer was $150,000, which is about 10% less than what the appraised value came in. So my understanding is that it's just a matter of working out the formalities, setting the closing date, and hopefully corporation will just convey it by quick clean deed, because there's obviously certain concerns with respect to the property itself, so we don't want to make any kind of warranties or representations. But I believe the buyer understands and is willing to take the property, you know, with that subject to a quick clean deed. So I hope to report on this at the next meeting, that everything is sort of moving forward to closing an escrow. So,
okay, good.
Okay. The other matter which the board had instructed me to do, and I believe I presented it to the chair, but I don't know if it was disseminated to the board members, but at the last board meeting back in March, there was an issue that was raised during the president's report on the discussions about the renters, giving the renters a 1099-C. And I believe that the board and chair had instructed me to do some research on that particular matter. I prepared a memo, a short memo, after reviewing the enabling legislation and looking generally at the tax code. I'm not a tax person. However, based on my review of that particular matter, it appears under the enabling legislation that, number one, it is the board that directs management whether or not to issue the 1099-C. It is not management to do that. And that's pretty clear in the enabling legislation, simply because the board has the authority to resolve and settle all claims. I take that as, if this is an issue where we're looking at a reduction or a loss, that would be a matter that would be within the board's privy. And so I had prepared this indicating that that whether the 1099-C form to a debtor tenant is a decision to be made by the board of directors, or can this be solely accomplished by management. And having reviewed the enabling legislation under 12 GCA section 4112 and 4104, it seems pretty clear that it's the board who's empowered to direct management, and that management cannot unilaterally make that decision. It would have to be presented to the board first.
QB, I know I did receive a copy of your, you know, your opinion, your
yes.
written opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Did the other board members, were the other board members provided a copy of that?
I'm not sure.
If not, can we please get that to them?
Sure, sure. I can provide it. I have a copy of mine now, and I can just have the party or the management go ahead and make a copy of it. But
okay.
I sent it to management and to you, Mr. Chair, because I know you had initially
right.
directed it
can,
to me.
Can
so.
You, can, if you're going to make copies and pass it out now, can somebody please email Doreen and Sandy a copy
yes.
of that as well?
Yes.
All right. That way, it's available to them.
Here, I'm sorry. Here you go. So that was my research, based on what the court, the board directed me to do. And again, taking into consideration what the enabling legislation provides. I'm not a tax person. I mean, whether or not the tax code mandates that it should be done or not, that would be something I think that the board directing management would have to inquire with their auditors. But as far as the primary issue is whether or not it can be unilaterally done through management, it doesn't appear from the enabling legislation that management has that authority. That's a decision that should be made by the board.
Okay.
Okay. Moving forward to the next item, and I believe it would just be sort of a general foreclosures. I provided in my packet to the management, and I believe board members may have already received it, but it was sort of a general summary of some of the matters that I'm currently working on, and it was a total of five matters that are active right now. The others are being monitored, but these ones I had spoken with the president about, there of these five, two of them are really ones that really need to move, that there would need to be action taken to foreclose on the liens. However, having spoken with the president the other day and having her confirm with the governor's office, the moratorium that suspends, actions for evictions, for renters, and any kind of foreclosure action hasn't been lifted. So what that essentially means is until the governor issues an order rescinding the moratorium, as far as the foreclosures are concerned, we can't do anything yet till that action has been lifted. What I can say to the board right now is my office and myself have been very diligent for those who are currently under loan workout agreements or those that are slightly behind that have been referred to my office, except for the two that I mentioned. Been very active in at least contacting them and following up on the collection of payments. And so the moratorium just provides that the entity cannot move forward with any kind of foreclosure action, but it doesn't preclude government entities or businesses with working out with either the renters or the mortgagors to try to follow up in collecting the monies that are due on the mortgage, for example. So we've been still working actively, and a number of them that we have been very good about following up and making payments and trying to get ahead as much as possible. So I can say that really reducing it down to the two that are really of severe nature has really just brought, you know, we've just tried to narrow it down, taking into consideration the COVID issue. So other than that, those are really just the highlights that I've just been working on. And I believe I've spoken with the president, I've spoken with the loan administrator here, and I also will be working in the next few months on updating the corporation's mortgage documents. So that will be the next process.
You can also, I'm not sure if there's some standard already in the, you know, in the management office. But are we letting them know that, you know, just because some people are thinking that maybe this moratorium is gonna relieve them of those amounts? But is there something that just to make them just set it out again and say, please understand that once it's lifted, you know, all those due payments there has to be maybe another payment plan created.
Right.
Because there might be another pressure that, oh, it's deferred. I mean, it's waived. So we just want to make sure they understand that. So.
Right.
It doesn't cause a problem 6 months down the road.
Right. Well, the way both myself and my office have approached this with the debtors is, you know, there may be a moratorium in place, but keep in mind, once that is lifted, it doesn't, unless something changes within the law, it doesn't prevent the creditors from going after you for the amounts that are still due and owing on the mortgage. So they understand that. I think the issue here is simply, they don't want to be way far behind. Later on, as we go 6-7 months down the line, now you're 6-7 months behind, plus the interest that accrues. So again, I've been able to, in the last 2 weeks, been able to meet with a number of them and speak to them on the phone as far as, you know, let's try to get you, you know, up on board. So a number of them that were like the 2-3 months, even 1 month, I've tried to bring them up. They've been pretty good about saying, okay, how much do I owe? And where do I need to be at? So as our own estimate based on the payoff statements, they've been very good about, okay, we'll make these payments, we'll try to pay this off within this month. So I think they're understanding, knowing that if they don't pay and the governor lifts the moratorium, and again, as said, unless some funding comes up to help, whether the mortgagors or the renters, you know, the creditors are still going to move forward and exercise what they're able to do in accordance with their agreements, you know, the mortgage agreements. So they've been really good about that.
I want to make sure it's clear because, you know, if you recall the utilities, Gulf Guam Utilities, right?
Yeah.
It was all well known that, yeah, you don't have to pay. There's no penalty or late fee.
Yeah.
But eventually when they leave the moratorium, you're going to have to get caught up.
Right.
So did you notice that the backlash that everybody said, oh, why are they going to cut our power off now? You know, so you see, even if it's out there,
yeah,
on maybe social media or whatever, we just want to make sure that we work live, face to face.
Yes.
I'll just make it clear because, and I think if it's really clear, some of them that get their stimulus money, they might be able to say, you know what, I don't want to get in trouble with this. I want to stay in my house. Let's put a little bit in there. They don't want to get too far behind. You know, don't give them the notion that, hey, you know, I can skip these payments for 6 or 7 months.
Mr. Rochester, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Just so that you're aware, one, we'll send letters out, but we have been, when this whole COVID started, the moratorium was put in place. We informed mortgage holders and renters that we're going to waive the late fees, right? We encourage them, if you can still pay. If you can't, come in and talk to us so that we can make arrangements so that you don't fall too far behind. There are some people that asked for forbearance. We have 25 individuals thus far who have asked for that. We've given them, we've worked out, if they were eligible for a revision of their terms, that was done, that would have been better for them. Otherwise, we would give them I think the most we've given is 3 months. And they were also informed that you will still have to catch up.
Yeah, you know, my concern is that, you know, I understand that, you know, we do have a pandemic with progress, right?
Yeah.
And that there are people that are really in dire need of help, and that's just understood. But, you know, the thing is we just want to make sure that everybody's aware so we don't end back, and get back to where we were. You know, just looking at the legal report, it's only, what, a 3-pager now? Mm-hmm. Or foreclosures? We don't want to get back to where we had a 10-pager. So, you know, we just don't want to lose control of that.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Mr. Rose.
You know, one thing that I'd really like to see, right, is that we follow what the industry is doing, which makes a lot of sense. I've just started going on and finding out what have the industry done in terms of mortgages. And what they've actually done is they've actually taken a real active role at the onset. They would call up, their customers, and they would ask them, are you being affected by COVID-19? And if the answer is yes, then they explain to them, look, we can defer your payments for 90 days, but you're still going to be charged the interest. And then they take those 90 days that they deferred, and they put it on the back end of the loan. So their loan's going to be extended, and the maturity date says in January 2021 for sake of discussion, right? Their new maturity date is going to be April of 2021. Have we thought of doing that? And the other thing is, we really need to get proactive if we don't want our foreclosure list or delinquency list to climb, right? And that is to actually call them. Because a lot of these guys don't know programs are out there like that. And if we call them up, have collections call them up, have loan call them up, and just say, look, if you're having a hard time because of COVID, or you may have lost your job, or whatever the case is, we can defer your payments coming in. Well, you know, and before they even come in, right, for safety of the employees, make sure you get all the information on the phone, prepare the documents, the new contract, and then just bring them in for signing.
I think we've already started that.
Okay, good.
Exactly. Collections, that's what we've been doing.
I know you and I had talked about this real quick, but...
The process is exactly like this.
Okay, good,
we're
good.
We're going to tell them, because they're not going to come with it after.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of these guys, my daughter-in-law works for, that's exactly what she does for Bank of Hawaii. And she was telling me that she's been on the phone for 12 hours a day calling, right? All their clients. And a lot of them won't call up out of embarrassment. Or a lot of them think, man, I just lost my job. I was in the hospitality industry. I lost my job. There's no way the bank's going to cut me some slack here. And that's not that's the furthest thing from the truth. They actually help them out. So I'd like to see that happen. That does us a favor, too, in not growing our foreclosure. Okay. Okay, thank you, Alice. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Angie. Thank you, everybody here.
Mr. Chairman, the team's been very proactive. We really
good.
Understand. And we don't want to foreclose on, contrary to popular belief, we don't want to foreclose on people. So the team's been very proactive.
Okay. Doreen, go ahead. I know you had your hands up. Go ahead. Doreen, you're coming up really broken.
Actually, you can't. Can you get a little closer to your speaker?
Okay, can you hear me?
Better. I think Cassandra went to get a seat. The microphones working yesterday, but they're not working today.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Better. Yeah, so much better.
Okay, I wanted to ask about the debtor property. Was all costs recovered in that 125?
No, the information that was provided was for the Jonia property. There was nothing discussed on Dedido.
I thought the Dedido's... Oh, that's not the one that's the 150 offer?
No, that the 150 was for Jonia.
Right. Oh, okay.
With regard to the Dedido property, we received an offer and then Guam Housing countered, so we're waiting for a response.
So that's a Jonia.
Yeah, the 150 is the Jonia.
Okay. You said that the book value is 125. Did we recover all costs? Are all costs already factored in that 125?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The 150.
Yeah.
We actually get a little more.
Okay. Okay. Another question is, can you, we're talking about the 1099, can you have Alicia come up? Did we do any write-off for the past 5 years? And if so, can you give us the cost and how much was written off on the past 5 years? Can you hear me? You don't have to do it now. Just
no.
Like,
can we get that at the next meeting, board? Director?
Yes.
Okay.
And as far as I read in the news about the federal grant that's coming out. Have we looked into that to help our rent and mortgage holders?
Yes.
Do any of these programs?
So in reference to the write-offs, Alicia, is that rental and or housing or both?
Both.
Both, okay. So write-off for both. Now, with regard to federal programs, yes. We're actually waiting to hear back from HUD. We applied for the mortgage assistance, right? And so once that comes in, we'll be, there's a whole process that goes with it. But yes, we are trying to access as much federal assistance as we can for our mortgagers and renters.
Okay, yeah, because I just saw the news that there was another one that was released, Congressman Seneca, working on, I think that passed. It's just, was it yesterday or the day before? There was another program, so maybe we can get to that too.
Okay, so if it passed the Senate, it may have to go back to the House, and then to the president for signature. So that one I think is still a little bit of time, but I've already reviewed the bill, and I had our team, I have Audrey, who's, I put her in charge of like federal grants and stuff, take a look at that and to start preparing the information that may likely be requested of us. So the minute they say, okay, here you go, the president signs it, we're able to put in, respond to it right away.
Great, great. Yes, it's great to be prepared. I have some question on the legal counsel's foreclosure report.
Okay.
On page 1 of 3 on the Jigo property, it says that the legal counsel contacted USDA regarding the status of the foreclosure action on June 17, 2029. Is that a typo error?
Yeah, it could have been a typo.
Is it June? Okay. So, yeah.
Should have been June of 2020.
Okay, yeah. It says 2029 for the Jigo property.
Yes.
And then on the Santa Rita, it's, I guess this is the one that they're trying to get out and we still have right. The legal counsel filed an objection to the district court.
Right.
And then it says, on July 18, 2019, the debtor filed a response, so the response was done on the same day. Legal counsel filed on 7-18, and the debtor responded on 7-18.
No, I provided my response earlier on. I just wanted to summarize it, and the court issued a decision on that time, yes. But this is just a summary of what happened. I already filed my objections. And just so to note, this bankruptcy occurred before I came on board, so I was just addressing the issues after I came on board as legal counsel. This was initially through their prior counsel, and so that's why there were some issues with regards to this. However, Director Chrysostomo, as the court made it clear, along with the debtor's attorney, the lien survives. So whatever the lien is on the property, it will survive bankruptcy.
Okay.
That's clear in the law.
Okay, another question, and yes, we're trying to really help these borrowers. Have we ever, like, talked to these borrowers, with these foreclosures? Has any of the family members, have we asked them, have any family members that can take over the, not really take over the loan, but at least transfer this property and let them take the loan? Have we ever, asked them, do you have any family members that are willing to do this? Because I'm assuming that when these property go in foreclosure, there is no way that, this is my assumption, that we couldn't modify the loan and do a refinance to try and get them up to par. Is that correct?
No. Prior to foreclosure, Director Chrysostomo, the loan team and the collection team actually work every angle possible. They meet with the mortgage holder, and they've even encouraged them, do you have family members who can help? Is there something that can be done? Or if you can, rent it out, collect, we don't want to take that away from them. So yes, they are counseled, and then things are done, refinance, revision, give them mortgage relief, things like that. So yes, everything, the mortgage holders are counseled and spoken to prior to it even going to legal. It's months here with the team, and they try everything possible within the law, of course, to assist.
Okay. I know the delinquency rate, what is 12%? I'm going to pull that report. Is it 12%?
From housing? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is okay. So what does that translate to? How many houses or how many mortgage holders? That 12%.
I'm sorry, as of April, it was 18%, and that's 56 homes, Alicia? 56 mortgage holders?
Okay, and we tried to help those people that are over 120 days to try and refinance it?
90,
right? Yeah.
That's all taken into consideration, Director Crisostomo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That's it.
And that's all I have to report on at this time, Mr. Chair and board members.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Let's go ahead. I think we've already discussed the Oreo on old business, right? Derrido, Jonia, and Gigo. And I think also legal counsel had discussed the Udo software.
Yes, yes.
Right.
We filed
a
complaint.
Right.
As I indicated.
That's correct. So you've also discussed the AAA process.
That's correct.
Okay, so then why don't we go ahead and move on to new business, the EY audit. Why don't we start with that?
So, Mr. Chair, with the EY audit already, that's been released. We just needed the board to accept the audit.
Okay.
Yeah, we already discussed that. Yeah. We discussed a new business on the last meeting.
I don't think we accepted the audit.
So.
Yeah. It's not really accepted. The point that I kind of brought up in the last meeting. I think Guam Housing Board should be given that opportunity to know what the results of the audit instead of finding it out there in the public.
Okay.
I only found out that it was released in, when was it released?
I believe.
A month. I found out a month after it was released. So I'm just saying that if the president can talk to the auditors, because the audit report is addressed to the board, and you know, if the chair Frank goes out there and someone approaches him about it, he's gonna say what? You know, I think it's just a courtesy that the board is aware, even if they're at the final draft. I know our board meetings don't happen until maybe at the end of the meeting, and it is the public auditor that releases the audit, but I really suggest that the independent auditor, EY, present it to the board.
All right. Thank you, Director Crisostomo. Definitely make sure that occurs the next audit. I do apologize. The office was closed when all of this was being conducted, and we did not receive the report. I did sign off on sending the reports to the auditor. And the public auditor released at that point. So, but for our next audit, I'll ensure that the board receives the information prior to the public auditor.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that was beyond our control, right? And you know, I just saw Sandy come on. Sandy, are you there?
Yes, she's on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of thought I saw her there. Okay, welcome, Sandy. Okay, so that being said, right? Can we go ahead and entertain passage of the financial statement? Does somebody want to make a motion?
EY audit, Mr. Chair?
No, I'm sorry. The you need passage of this, right? Am I correct?
The EY audit?
The EY audit? No?
Yeah, I think it just needs to be accepted by the board. Just that.
Yes. I make a motion to accept the audit for FY.
We would need to make a motion to accept it, right?
Yeah, she's motioning.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. Doreen, go ahead.
Yeah. I make a motion to accept the EY audit for fiscal year 2019. If you guys want to know the overview, look at the MD&A. It tells you the story.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a second on that?
Second.
Okay, it's been seconded by Director Metanonia. Any discussion on this motion?
Thanks.
If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all opposed? Okay, that motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, let's now move on to new business. Didn't we discuss this already?
Everything is done.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so we did. Okay.
There's public participation.
Public participation, any here? How about any miscellaneous announcements? Anyone? No? Okay, so board,
adjourn.
Management, are we ready to adjourn?
Sir.
The next meeting, Mr. Chair?
Oh, next meeting.
So the next meeting, we will cover reports for May and June.
Okay, right? Can everybody look at their calendar and figure out when's the best time? I mean, I'm retired, so I'm open.
August 7th, is that good for everybody? August 7th, I was going to present that as a possibility if that's not too soon or too late.
No, that's fine with me. August 7th is fine.
And Mr. Chair and Board Member, my calendar is clear for that day. So if the board desires to do that, then I can book it right away without having to have any kind of hearings or meetings. Calendar.
Tom, you have an issue with that?
That's okay. That's
okay. Doreen, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Sandy,
July
7th? Are you okay?
No, August 7th.
August 7th.
Friday.
Sorry, August
7th. Yeah. Sandy, are you good with that? You're on mute. Thumbs up if it's yes. Okay. Her thumbs up. Okay.
9 o'clock.
9 a.m.
Director, you go. Are you good with that, sir?
Just set it.
Okay.
You make it.
Okay. All right. So our next board meeting is August 7th, right?
9 a.m.
9th or 7th?
7.
No, 9 a.m.
9 a.m. At 9 a.m. Okay.
That's a Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Any other miscellaneous announcements, concerns? If not, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Metanonia, seconded by Director Crisostomo. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion's carried. Thank you. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everyone.
Broke the record.
Happy liberation to everybody.
Are we having anything?
Things to do.
Alice, are we having anything?